Let's pray for the kids as they head out for Sunday school. We've had a little furnace issue with the heat, is it good? We've not had any issue. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. We're good. We're on top of things. Good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, for this opportunity just to come before you. Holy God, we just want to surrender to you. We thank you for the children that you've blessed us with. We just pray you just minister to them in a powerful way. Bless the teachers at this time. And Lord, as we just come before you now in word, just minister to us. Open our hearts and ears just to grow in your name, to know you more, Father God. And for all those churches gathering today, especially in light of what happened last week in Texas, pray, Father God, that your church arise. That in faith we stand bold, knowing that we have life in you. And so, Jesus, as I speak, I pray you speak through my weakness. Give it strength. Turn our eyes to you, Jesus. Amen. So for those of you who've been journeying with us in our reading plan, only a few weeks left. If you've kind of tailed off a little bit on our reading plan, there's only like 6 or 7 weeks left. So feel free to jump back on. We're kind of finishing Hebrews this week, and then it's into James, the little book of Jude, and then Matthew. So if you've got nothing else to read in your devotions, I encourage you until Christmas, New Year, read with us. James, Jude, and Matthew. And so we preach on these. That's what we've been doing this year, preaching on the different readings. And so I'm reading, preaching on in Hebrews. Now, normally, I don't get all excited about Hebrews. That's my bad. I read it and I'm like, wow, it's hard to grasp. I'm a simple kind of guy. And so when I read Hebrews, I'm like, whoa, that's so in-depth. But this time reading Hebrews, I love how God's so relevant that my eyes were just opened. Reading through Hebrews, and things that I was thinking about and going through were answered through this reading. God's relevant and God speaks today. I very much believe this. And so as I was reading through Hebrews, I kind of got a little bit of a butt kicking in a good sense of it. I was having a conversation with someone recently and talking about preaching. And I was saying, I love the salvation message. I would love to, you know, every week just do the salvation message because, you know, you never know. 1 week someone might be asleep, you know. So if you do it the next week, they're going to catch it next week. Don Strickland's still awake, so he's good. But, you know, so I'm thinking, that's what I just want to do. Salvation message every week. And then people will grasp it. I'm thinking, I'm onto something. I could write a book on that. Just the salvation message alone. I'm on it. And then I'm reading Hebrews, and I get to chapter 5. It's not on the screen, so you just have to listen to what it says here. Hebrews 5 says, there is much more. He's talking about Jesus being the high priest. He says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Well, that got me listening. I'm like, ouch. All right, here we go. It's the Bible saying it, not me. So here we go. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understand. When I read that, I'm like, all right, okay, I get the point. We're to grow. The reality is, if we stayed with just the salvation message every single week, Yes, we'll get the amens. We'll probably leave all fired up. But would we grow? It reminded me of the parable that Jesus taught of those seeds that were scattered. Some of those seeds scattered landed on path. I'm sure when they landed, they were like, yes, we're on the ground. We've made it. Look at me. I'm so proud. I'm sitting here. But they were shallow. They weren't rooted to anything. And as soon as a bird came or a storm came, they were taken away. Kind of like how in the letter of James, he talks about being tossed like a wave in the ocean. That's what those seeds are like. They're not rooted to anything deep. So in life, when trouble comes, and Jesus says, trouble comes, if we're not rooted down, it's taken away. We've got nothing firm and deep. So what the author here in Hebrews is saying is we have to be intentional. We have to say, I want to grow in this. He's saying to them, you should be teaching people. That's the making disciples. It's not you're a disciple, then you're good to go. You know, you then make other disciples. That's the training and teaching through further growing. And so it made me look and question, okay, what does a genuine faith look like? What does genuine faith look like today? And you know, there's many people who have written books, and that's good. But what I'm going to share this morning, one verse from Hebrews is far greater than what any other human could write. In Hebrews 11, if you've already done your readings this week, you already know where I'm going. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is what faith looks like. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about the things we cannot see. I highlighted here in my Bible, faith is the confidence. Quite often we say, oh, I have confidence in my faith, when actually faith equals confidence. It means we're not worried. We're not doubting about what will happen. We're able to walk in confidence knowing that this is the truth today as it always has been. It's deeper than head knowledge. I mean, head knowledge is good, but a confidence in that knowledge is far surpassing. For example, you could read all about the science and the facts of airplanes. You could read about it and go, wow, that's tight, of how they're safer than vehicles and how they stay in the air and how turbulence doesn't, you know, with the wings doesn't bring them down and all this kind of cool stuff. And you can read it and be like, amen. Putting that in confidence is then getting on the plane. It is one thing from the tarmac going, what a beautiful thing. It's another thing going, get me on there. I shared with the men yesterday at men's breakfast that my great-granddad, he died when I was about 9 or 10, and he flew Spitfire. And so he was in the war, World War II, and he was shot down 3 times. On one of those occasions, he landed in the English Channel, in the sea. And miraculously, he was picked up by a boat, put on the boat, taken back to his airbase. He wasn't even allowed to change his clothes. He was put back on another plane and sent out. Now, for me, partly I'm like, I need to get home and see my wife. I've just been shot down. Another part of me would have been trying to look through the manual as well and going, I need to regain some confidence in this thing. But for these men to just get back up, get back in another one. I mean, and we're talking before all these days today with the electronics and technology of planes. Amazing. It's also like the head knowledge of you could read about those glass walkways that go over cliffs. There's some in the mountains near Jasper. You could go for, pay some probably silly amount of money and walk over glass and you're like, woo, there's the ground. Now you can look and read the facts of how thick the glass is. Amen, that's so good. The technology today is great. Good. If you're confident in that, walk. And you can watch YouTube videos of people like clinging to the side and all the rest of it. Faith is confidence. Now, in Christianity, head knowledge is good. It helps us in our journey. Learning is good. In fact, just this week, I was reading a journal about how archaeologists have found, they believe they found, through doing some Indiana Jones-style discovery, Sodom and Gomorrah, the remains, in the Dead Sea. They've discovered, I mean, this is back in the 60s, so you guys are like, yeah, duh. But for me, this is new news. They discovered what they believe in the exact location where it says in the scriptures where Sodom and Gomorrah were. And what scientists say, these weren't believing scientists. They weren't Christians. They're just scientists. They said they couldn't believe it. When they found this area, every single house, the remains of the houses, every single one, they could find particles of ash. And their discovery was the ash was at the center of every single house, meaning that every single house was burnt from the roof out. You read your Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God because of flames from above. And here scientists are looking and going, well, ain't this strange? Other findings, walls of Jericho, for another one. Or there's a historian called Josephus, who wrote about all these people back in Jesus' day. No one doubts it. But he also wrote about Jesus. He wasn't a follower. He just wrote about this man named Jesus who's doing amazing things. So facts and knowledge help. For me, it's when I go out for walking the dog at like stupid times at 6 in the morning when the stars are still out and it's minus 25 and I'm thinking, how have I become the designated dog walker now? In the summer, it was a 50-50 partnership. Now it's not. But anyway, that happened. I was not quite part of that dialogue. But anywho, as I'm out walking the dog and seeing the stars, I cannot help but think, what an amazing creator we have. How could people think that's a fluke? Or when you become a father or a mother, no one could tell me that love is just some weird, random chemical imbalance that happens in the brain because of a random act or fluke. That one minute my wife's pregnant, the next minute I'm holding this gooey, messy thing that if someone came in and wanted to harm this child, you got to go through me. That love, that is just this crazy, life-changing moment. You saying that's just a random act? For some, it's a bit deeper than that. They like numbers in the Bible. They love how numbers correlate with other numbers. For me, it's way above me. But for some, that triggers them. They're like, wow, how all these numbers pair up. Well, but the reality is, no matter where you come from or how you get there, you have to come to a conclusion. Is this God, this created God, a God of just history, or a God that is also still relevant and alive today? Is he the truth? Is this God a God that so much loves you that, yes, in the salvation message, we say amen to, because even whilst we were sinning, he died for us. By simply giving our lives, simply saying yes to him, that we have life in him. And that he knows the messiness of this world, the trouble in this world, so he gives us himself, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and in us, to give us a strength, to give us a peace, to give us guidance. At some point, we've got to get to a conclusion. Do we say yes or no? And if we are saying yes, well, what does that look like? In the Bible, that looks like confidence. That looks like, I'm going to live that. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to apply that into my life. If you follow on in Hebrews 11, the author gives a list of men and women in the Old Testament who by faith did amazing, incredible stuff. For example, you got Noah. By faith, builds this ark in the desert. It didn't rain. But he had a relationship with God that he knew. He was confident. He built this ark in confidence. He wasn't doubting. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. So when God said, Noah, I need you to build me a big old boat. He was like, all right, God. Now all his buddies were thinking, what are you doing? That's crazy. Even people who would respect. Like, dude, it's not rained for ages. What are you doing? God's told me I'm building this thing. To the world, it looks crazy. Noah, there was no doubt. Noah doubt. Huh. Anyway. Trademark. For Abraham, walking up that hill to sacrifice his son. Now, he wasn't running and skipping up there, but he was walking in confidence because he knew the voice of God. He had confidence. Now, for those who don't know that story, God stopped it. It's all good. But he walked up that hill with confidence. In the New Testament, the friends that lowered down the paralyzed man through the roof, they did that in confidence because they knew a healer was in there. They knew a healer was there to heal their friend. If they didn't do it with confidence, man, their neighbor would be pretty angry. We're just cutting a hole in your roof for just out of a whim. You don't do that. They were confident. There's a healer inside, and we're taking our buddy to him. World would think they're crazy, but they were acting in confidence, acting in faith. The woman who reached out, the woman who suffered with bleeding for 12 years, reaches out to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak, knowing she'll get scowled, knowing that in the law that she is seen as an unclean person, touching Jesus is a really not a good thing at all, but she's reaching out in confidence, knowing that I'm reaching out to my Savior, I'm reaching out to my healer. Stepping out in faith. Question is, for us here today, do we live a life in faith, in confidence? Do we wake up each morning knowing that we have a God that is with us this day? Do we wake up each morning knowing the Holy Spirit is present in our lives? Because if we reflect on our week, and we're saying yes to this, but we reflect on our week, will we reflect a week that way we think, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Because if we are acting in confidence, that changes things. Because we're living a life knowing God is with us. He's not just waiting for us here on a Sunday morning, that he goes with us. The Bible. Do we believe this is the Word of God? Do we believe that God inspired this? Do we believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us today? Then acting in confidence is then saying, well, I'm going to put that into my life. Jesus teaches of forgiving. Well, I better do some of that. Too often we all have a story, oh, you don't know my story. It was all good for Jesus to forgive, but you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, if we're saying that he is God, we are not. If we are saying that he has forgiven us and freed us and he calls us to follow him by faith, in confidence, then I need to be on a journey of forgiveness, of mercy, of compassion, of love, of mission. Because it's saying, it's all one thing to say amen and yes. It's another thing to say, well, when I get home, I want to know more of this. I need this to apply in my life. You know, the first step may not be building an ark for you or for me. The first step of acting in confidence might be waiting on God. Maybe if you reflect in your week, in your days, that you maybe not spent that much time in prayer. That maybe when you're in your house alone, it's too much easy to put the TV on or do something different. Maybe your first act of saying, God, I'm acting in faith, I'm going to step out in confidence, is you're worthy of my time. And so therefore, I'm just going to spend some time talking to you. Jesus teaches, that's how we pray. Go into that room, close the door, communicate. Maybe that's that first step. Maybe your first step isn't to sell your house and give it all away. Maybe your first step is to say, God, I'm going to trust you with what you've given me. I'm going to give, even if it's 10%, even if it's that one coin that that widow gave. I'm going to step out in confidence that you provide, you sustain, that I will worship and I will give. You know, there are some people in the Bible, fair play, they got it quick. You know, Matthew the tax collector, Jesus walks on by and says, follow me. He gets up, he's following. Good for him. But you know, there are other people in the Bible, like Thomas. I feel sorry for him because he's now known as Doubting Thomas. But Thomas, he was on a journey. And there are many more like him that is step by step. But the only way to go forward is by making that step, is by being intentional and saying, do you know what? I'm going to start somewhere. I'm going to start by taking this seriously. I'm going to start by saying, if I'm saying this is truth, how do I apply this in my life? I'm going to take it seriously by just saying, God, I just need to spend a moment with you. And when you experience that blessing, then you'll take another step and another step. I'm going to finish with Psalm 119, verse 32. Which says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. I love that verse. Starts by a step, but I encourage you to make that step. Start running, because we are free. Walk in confidence that you've got a God that's with you. He is mighty to save. And he loves and delights in each one. But we got to accept that. We got to come to a conclusion and say that is truth. I'm going to jump on board like that plane. I'm going to put it into action. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Holy God. By simple faith, by simple yes, to you we are saved. And we thank you for that. That you died once for all. Help us be a body that is a church that is willing to move, to step. That isn't just one that's focused on history or even tradition, but a church that is willing to wait on you, to hear your voice, and when you speak, to follow, even if it looks strange to the outside, maybe even crazy to the outside. But we're walking in confidence because we've got a God that speaks and we're a people that listen. Open our hearts, open our ears, Father God, to you. A church in unity, willing to wait on you, to follow you, to make a step. Lord, Father, help us to take our hands off maybe the security that we put around us, those comfort blankets. Maybe it is tradition, things that we did well in the past. Maybe we need to let our hands off that and say, God, we're going to step out in what you're saying today in our own lives and as a church. For those here today, Father God, that maybe it's been a while since we've talked to you, let this day be a great day. That communication is open. Father, we thank you for the image we have with the prodigal son of your arms being wide open. Allow us to run into those. Father, we thank you that you are ever present. We thank you for your love. You are an awesome God. Praise you.